You may be seated. The scripture reading this morning is found in Psalms 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved, even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. May God's word be blessed this morning. Before Reverend Vince Belanca comes and shares this morning, I just want to give a little background. Vince, we believe, is the perfect person to offer insight into parent and youth relationships, as he and his wife Beverly have 5 children and 5 grandchildren.
Six.
I forgot one. You forgot one? Vince has been in ministry since 1985 and has served as a youth pastor, a senior pastor, of which the last 15 years at Eagles Nest Church in Hemphill Township, a wraparound, and a counselor in juvenile detention. His experience with youth in so many different situations and his passion for practical Christian living come together as he shares his sermon, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. Now, one final thing I'd like to say before Vince comes forward is through the time that I've known him, I can say he has one of the great qualities that I admire as a person, and that he's a genuine person. And I can't say that about a lot of people, but you're a genuine person, a genuine man of God, and it's an honor for me to know you, and I think it's an honor for you to come and share this morning. So let's welcome Vince to the pulpit.
Good morning. It really is a joy and a great honor and a delight for my wife Beverly and I to be here this morning. We're thrilled to be here. I was looking at this introduction. I kind of had to chuckle when I read that I was the perfect person to offer insight. I'm not the perfect person, believe me. I do have some experience, 25 years working with kids in various capacities. As Pastor Anthony mentioned, I was a youth pastor for 5 years. And I just heard that you just hired a new youth pastor. Is he here? Is he in a, there he is. He's back there. Hey, listen, I got some great words for advice for you, okay? When I first became a youth pastor, one of the guys, he was another youth pastor. He called me off to the side. And he said, listen, the perfect combination for a youth pastor, you have to be like Moses and Ronald McDonald, all wrapped up and rolled into one. So that's our prayer for you, that you're going to be Moses and Ronald McDonald to those kids. So my youth Sunday, how well, this brings back a lot of great memories. Jesus in youth ministry, being a wraparound. And don't ask me how I forgot that we had 6 grandkids instead of 5, but Beverly reminded me, you know, we have 6. And I know what you're thinking, but you don't look it. That's true, but we feel it, don't we? This is kind of cool, being off to the side like this preaching. I'm used to preaching from the center. I feel like a wideout on a football team. This is actually kind of cool, preaching from the side. So we're here today to share with you this message, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. I'm not used to preaching in a suit. I actually had to have Beverly go in my closet and, you know, pick me something out that hopefully I look okay today. But to be with Pastor Anthony, a good friend. He's just a new friend, and he's more of like a brother to to me than a friend. We are brothers in Christ, so I really thank God for our new friendship and how God is knitting our hearts together by His Spirit. You know, God is truly bringing His people together. You know that. You've got a Pentecostal preacher preaching here this morning at the Presbyterian Church. My friend, he's a retired Baptist pastor. He's preaching at our church. And God's bringing His people together. Amen. It's all one faith, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism. All right, let's pray, shall we? And let's ask for God's blessing on the ministry of His Word today. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great blessing it is. What a great honor, Lord, for me to be here with Your people to share Your Word, Lord. And I ask now for the help of Thy Holy Spirit, Your blessing on this message today. Jesus, You told Peter, feed My sheep. And Lord, that's a charge to all Your pastors, all Your shepherds. So Lord, today, may this word today, may it not be just another sermon. We hear sermons all the time. Lord, may it really be the very words of God, not the words of man. May it be food to our souls, be a blessing to our lives and a blessing to our homes, our families and marriages. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a son who just got his license. And he wanted to borrow the keys from old dad. So his father was reading the newspaper, and so he comes in the living room. He said, Dad, he said, me and some of the guys, we like to go hang out at the mall, and, you know, can I borrow the keys? Well, there had been an ongoing issue between this father and this son. That was the dad wanted to get a haircut. Any dads out there that ever wanted your kids to get a haircut? Or is there any, maybe your father at some point in time wanted you to get a haircut? I could relate to that. So the father, he didn't even lift his eyes from the newspaper. He said, get a haircut. And the boy, you know, he's thinking now. So he says, well, Dad, even Jesus had long hair. And the dad said, yeah, and he walked everywhere he went too. This is a true story. It was Father's Day, and this mother, she wanted to take Dad out and the kids out for lunch, you know, after church. So they go to this nice restaurant, and the waitress, she comes around, and so she's taking everybody's order. So they go to the son, and so he said, I'll take the filet mignon. So the father, he lifted up his eyes from the menu, and he looked at his son. Dad, you know what that look is, because it's the same look that your dad gave you when you did something crazy. It's probably the same look you gave to your kids when they do something crazy. So the father looked at the son. He said, hey, it's Father's Day. So that's a true story, and that's my son Paul. I forget what restaurant we were at, but I'll never forget that. It was Father's Day, and he wanted to celebrate Father's Day too by ordering the filet mignon for old dad. All right, so let's get a little more serious here, okay? Being a parent's a great blessing, amen? Like the scripture says in Psalm 127, children really are a gift from God, and sometimes I think we have to remind ourselves of that they really are a gift from God. They are a blessing. It's a great honor being a parent. It's a privilege being a parent. And I tell you, there's times when our kids, when they excel and our hearts are filled with is there such a thing as a godly pride or a good sense of pride as we are proud of our children? I'll never forget the time we were down at the baseball field down there in Greenville Park, and the bases were loaded, and my son was up to bat. And I'm like, here's Dad over here sweating, Lord, please don't let him strike out. Well, he hit a grand slam. Knocked it over the fence, brought all the runs in, and there was just, you know, how, as a parent, how your heart just fills with pride when you see your children excel. But it's also stressful, amen, sometimes being a parent. As you're trying to help your children navigate their way through life from the many pitfalls that are out there in life, sometimes it's painful being a parent when they break your heart. And sometimes children, as we at times, I'm sure, broke the hearts of our parents, and sometimes our children break our hearts as parents when we see them sometimes getting caught up in things they shouldn't be caught up in. Children really are a gift from God. And it's a sacred trust being a parent before God. It's a sacred trust. And I don't like to use the word job, but for lack of a better word, before God, it's our job, it's our duty, and our responsibility before God to unconditionally love our children. Let me say that again, unconditionally love our children. Because there's going to be times that love's going to be tested. We need to love them unconditionally. We need to provide for them and protect them. You know, friends, if you haven't figured it out by now, we live in a dark, evil world. And it's getting darker. A lot of temptations out there. And even in this day of modern technology in which we live, there's so much more evil that's at their fingertips than it was when we were their age. With the internet and all kinds of things like that. And the book of Proverbs says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And there's something in the hearts of children they want to explore and see what's out there. And that's why as a parent, I can't emphasize this enough, how important it is that our head is in the game and that we're on the job and watching over our children and protecting them. We know that we can't watch them 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But we need to do everything we can to keep a vigilant eye and watching over our children. We need to teach them what it means to be. You know, the older women need to teach their younger daughters what it means to be a respectful woman and what it means to be a woman of God. The older men, we need to teach our sons what it means to be a respectable young man and what it means to be a man of God. And also to pass on a living faith to our children. You know, there's a difference between a living faith and a non-living faith. There's a difference. When you have a living faith, it greatly impacts your life and changes your life. And it's central in your life, and everything that you do in your life is governed by your faith. A non-living faith is when you're a Christian in name only. You know, in name only. And it has no impact upon your life. It doesn't govern the various aspects of your life. So we need to be passing on to our children a living faith. And I think it's more important than just dropping your kids off at church and I'll pick you up when the service is over. Just don't take your kids to church. Bring them and be there with them. I think that is so important. Because somebody said a long time ago that principles are more often caught than taught. Children are saying, Dad and Mom, just don't tell me what a Christian is. And just don't tell me I need to read my Bible and I need to pray and I need to be in church. Show me what a Christian is. Show me what a godly spiritual woman is. Dad, show me what a man of God is. Show me what it means, Dad, to be a Christian man. Principles are more often caught than taught. I love the scripture in Proverbs 27, verse 6, says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Isn't it interesting when it says that when they are old? And also in that scripture that we read in Psalm 127, you know, where it talks about how children are given in one's youth. You know, there's a very good reason why God gives us children when we're young, because that's when you have the energy to chase after them. We had our grandchildren last month. These kids, they go and go and go and go and go and go. And so it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and this is after a full day of with these kids. They want to know what we're doing next. It's bedtime. Train up a child when they go, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. I think God knows that sometimes, you know, kids when they're young, they have a tendency of going astray. But, you know, if you, when they're young, you deposit God's word in their heart. I love the, in the Old Testament, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three teenage boys that were taken away from their homeland, they were taken away from their parents. There was no godly priest, there was no godly parent to guide them. They changed their dress, they changed the way they tried to change, they changed their names. They tried to change their food, the way they dressed. And then the king said, listen, at the sound of the music, you have to bow to my graven image. And so when the music was played, guess what? There was three teenage boys that stood straight and tall. And they said, king, we can't do it, even at the threat of a fiery furnace. You know why? You know what was really standing at that moment? Not those three teenage boys. It was the word of God that was standing. Because those children, when they were young, on their mother's knee, on their father's knee, the word of God was planted in their hearts. It wasn't those kids that were standing. It was the word of God in their hearts that was standing. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And thou shalt have no other gods before him. And it was the word in their hearts that would not let them bow to that graven image. Keep depositing the word of God in the hearts of those kids. Sometimes it's not easy, especially in these days. The Bible's clear that in the last days, that wickedness and evilness will increase and abound. And we're seeing it today, friends. We're seeing it today. If you watch the news and read the newspapers and see what's happening in our world, if you're, and I'm looking around and I see that I think there's a number of us that fit in this category that used to watch the sitcoms in the 60s. What did we have when they were black and white? Father Knows Best, My Three Sons, Leave It to Beaver, Andy Griffith. All these shows, these sitcoms that had family values. And then you came into the 70s and we had Gilligan's Island and Mary Tyler Moore and others like them. Then you came into the 80s, into the 90s, and you had Full House and The Golden Girls and Home Improvement, Family Matters, Step by Step, Home Improvement, a lot of these sitcoms. Look at them today. This world has lost its moral compass. Look at this. What's on TV today. Most everything you watch on TV is laced with sex and other immorality. In today's world, if you're going to be a Christian parent, and not even to mention what's on the internet and all of that, where literally pornography is at the fingertips of our children that are on the internet. That's why it's so important. You have to keep a vigilant eye on your children these days. You need to be lived. It amazes me how children today, younger and younger, are getting smartphones with the internet. 7 years old, they're having smartphones with the internet. Let me say this again. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The sinful nature is there. They're going to want to explore. I know of a family. They had a notepad. So the boys were having a sleepover and the girls were having a sleepover. So with this notepad that had internet capability and be able to FaceTime, these are boys that were 10, 12 years old, FaceTiming with the girls. You show me yours and I'll show you mine. As a parent today, you got to have your head in the game. You have to be on the job and you have to be with vigilance. You have to be watching over your children. You know, it makes me nervous. And some of the kids out there, you're not going to like some of the things I have to say. Maybe some of the parents, but just go home and chew on this, okay? And think about what I'm saying. children that have TVs in their rooms, they have laptops in their rooms, and you see the family unit today that is being broken further and further apart. Kids spending more times in their rooms, no supervision, what's happening on the internet. As parents, you need, I hope that with your kids, and their, if your children have smartphones, that you're looking to see where they're going, and you're monitoring what's happening, you know, on their laptops and computers. In today's world, if you're going to be a Christian parent and have Christian values, it's going to take courage. I have a patient, as Pastor Anthony mentioned, after 10 years being a counselor in juvenile detention, I just recently, about a year ago, I got a new position as a substance abuse counselor in Newcastle. And I have about 55 patients on my caseload. One of my patients mentioned to me, he was talking to me about his son, because him and his wife are separated. His son's 12. Spent the night over his girlfriend's house. And here's another thought. You cannot depend on other parents to supervise your children. 12 years old, spent the night over his girlfriend's house. I guess he was supposed to be somewhere else and lied to his mom. Spent the night, 12 years old, spent the night over his girlfriend's house. Okay, and they found that out later. Same fella. The son is with his estranged wife. Talks to his dad over the phone, swears at his dad over the phone. The mother is afraid of this 12-year-old boy. He has no fear of consequences. Friends, let me tell you, that is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous thing when you have a child that's lost complete respect for the father, and the mother is afraid, and the child is staying with that mother, and the mother's afraid of that child. And he's already in a lot of trouble with the law. This is what's happening in our world. This world has lost its moral compass. It's anything goes. Instead of calling them boys and girls in school today, now they want to call them penguins and dolphins. They're stripping away their sexual identity. And listen, if you think that, if you're a boy and if you think that you're a girl, it's okay to go into a girl's restroom now. This is what's happening in our world. That's why I say to be a Christian parent in the world today, you have to be on the job, find your strength in God in parenting. Christian parenting is not for cowards. There may come a time, you have small children, you see perhaps a book that they've brought home that's required reading in school, and you look at that book and you know that it goes against your Christian values, you may have to have a conversation with that teacher. You have to have your head in the game. There's two things that children need. Just like there's two banks that hold a river in place, there's two things that children absolutely need, and you know what they are. They're love and discipline. Love and discipline. Love is the time that you spend with your children. It's all the fun things you do with them. It's even the gifts at times you give to them. And remember, when you're a parent and your children are small, you are building a bridge between you and that child that eventually you want to walk across and be able to speak into their life and have them listen to you. All the time that you spend with your kids, the fun things you do with them, and the gifts that you give them, it's another brick you're laying in place in that bridge. It's very important. I think about my dad. My dad's 93 now. I think about our time together when I was growing up as a child. We went golfing together. We went fishing together. We went bowling together. He took me snow skiing. I don't recommend this. He let me drive his truck when I was 12. It was an old van. He sold televisions and serviced them. So he would park at the top of our street. He let me climb behind the wheel. It was an old three-speed 1967 van. Chevy van. He let me drive his truck. I don't recommend that. We used to go down out in the country, out to this dump in Lowellville, Ohio. He had some guns we used to target practice and shoot. Now think about this. This man that out of his busy schedule took this much time to spend with me, his son. And he did so many other things with me. I never remember a lot of words of wisdom that my father spoke to me, other than don't, and these are good words of wisdom, don't count on money that you don't have. The day that I was getting married, I was in the pastor's office and my father came in. And like I said, I really don't remember him giving me a lot of words of wisdom. But here we are, 5 minutes before the wedding, we're in the pastor's office and this was our father-son talk. I think I was 25. He said, do you have any questions? And that was our father-son talk. I don't recommend that either. But, you know, everything that my father did with me and the fun times we had together, it was a brick. He built this beautiful bridge between he and I. And everything that my father, the fun times we had together, it bound my heart to his with cords of love that even at 93 cannot be severed. Love. Children need love. They need your time. They need you to do fun things together. Gifts. All those things, friend, bind their hearts to yours with cords of love that can't be severed. Let's talk a moment just about discipline. This is not easy, huh? Discipline. And it has to be fair. It has to be reasonable. If you have a small child and you put them in timeout for 20 minutes, that's torture. I heard somebody say one time that a minute per age, if they're 5 years old, 5 minutes in timeout is good. My son, well, let me say this about my father and discipline. My father, he was not a Christian. My dad was actually involved in the mob in Youngstown. Give you any idea about him. He became a Christian later on in life. But even without being a Christian, my father raised, I had four older sisters. I was the baby of the family. And yes, I was spoiled. Even though my dad wasn't a Christian, he raised us by the book. Somewhere, maybe it was divine revelation, I do not know, but my dad knew, spare the rod, spoil the child. My father never did that. My father, he spoke softly and carried a big stick, and there was no question who the authority was in our home. And you want to know something? We had peace and order in our home. His badge of authority hung on a nail in his closet. My father was a bowler, and that was another thing he took me bowling. So he used to bowl like on these tournaments, and they were somewhere in Cincinnati, and he won this, they won this bowling tournament, so he comes home with this belt. Lucky me. This belt on the front of it had like these bowling pins that were crossed. And it hung up in his closet. And we had boundaries. Children need boundaries. And parents, it's your job to let your children know when they bump into boundaries. And my father was very good at that. That when I bumped into a boundary, my dad was very good at letting me know when I bumped into a boundary. Now, this is when I was older, you know, not a little child anymore, even though, you know, I got a little swat back then. But when I got up there, you know, 10, 12, my dad would let me know when I bumped into a boundary with his award that he got from that bowling tournament. And I raised my son the way my dad raised me, with discipline. And it didn't kill me. It didn't kill him. My son, and listen, parents, I never got a call from the school saying, Mr. Belanca, your son is out of control, come get him. My son, his name was never in the newspaper. I never had the police bring my son home or call and say, Mr. Belanca, your son's in jail, come bail him out. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of healthy, reverential fear and love and reverence and respect from children to parents. I think that's what our world has lost today, a fear of consequence, fear of consequence. And my son today, although he's not perfect, he's a chief in the world's finest Navy. He's a loving husband, devoted father, and a young man of God. Discipline, it's so important. There's a great scripture. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll just share just a little snippet of this in Hebrews chapter 12, and it's talking about God's discipline with us. Reading from the NIV, how God disciplines, his children. And it says, in your struggle against sin, you've not resisted yet to the point of shedding blood. And have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, nor lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Now listen to this. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us and respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us a little while they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in holiness. You see, there's a big difference between punishment and discipline. Punishment is punitive. It's just inflicting pain because as a consequence for something you did. Discipline, it's all about training and correcting and molding. And so that's the purpose of discipline. So no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Amen. Amen. But painful. But later on, listen to this, later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who've been trained by it. So, it's important. When I was a counselor in juvenile detention, and I worked with many of these kids, mostly from Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. These are kids that are, it's very obvious, are undisciplined. They never had anyone in their life telling them no and telling them what to do. And so now that when they're in placement, and placement is for youth that are out of control. They're out of control in the home, they're out of control in the community, and at school. That's what placement's for. And I tell you what, I've been there. Not myself. But as a counselor, I've been there. And it's not a very fun place to be. When you're in a situation where you have someone telling you when you can go to the bathroom, when you can get a drink, when you eat, even to get a paper towel to wipe your hands, you have to ask permission for everything that you do. These are kids who are undisciplined. I have this little, this is an object lesson, okay? This is actually a children's bow, okay? It only shoots about 10 yards, so you don't have to worry, all right? We read that scripture from Psalm 127 about how children are gifts from God and like arrows in the hands of a warrior, and blessed is the man who's quiver is full, even though he quivers. When you have, I love that illustration. I really do, about how, children are like arrows. Do we have any archery hunters out there? Okay, we've got a few. Well, an arrow is designed for velocity and to fly accurate and true. It has great potential. And these arrows that are building now, I don't hunt anymore. I used to hunt. I used to hunt a lot, rifle hunt and archery hunt. When Beverly and I got married, she domesticated me. I mentioned to her one time that I'd like to hang a deer in our garage, and she says, "That's fine, but just you'll be hanging right next to it." So I haven't hunted in a while, but these arrows that they're making today, these carbon graphite arrows, they're designed with great potential. So what enables, you know, you can have a great arrow, but what gives the arrow velocity? What helps it to fly with accuracy and true and have knockdown power? It's not the arrow itself, it's the bow. It's the tension that the string gives to the arrow that gives it velocity. We're talking about discipline. So what happens if you have, and I want to make this connection between children, discipline, and arrows. So what happens if you have a child that is growing up, has no discipline in their life? You have like this arrow kind of situation right here. There's no tension on that arrow. And I'm talking about we're talking about discipline, the right amount of tension and the right tension on their life in discipline. So if a child grows up and has no training, no instruction, no discipline in their life, it's like you have this arrow that's knocked in this bow. And with no tension on the bow or the arrow, this is what you have. You have all this potential. All this great potential to do great things just lying there on the floor. And friends, I tell you, in the last 10 years, again, of working as a counselor in juvenile detention, I see so many, these young lives, these young people, all this great potential lying on the floor. And now as a substance abuse counselor, I see it in the lives of adults. They have no aim. They have no direction. Aimless. They have no fire in their life. They have no passion. They have no incentive, no motivation for anything. They're like that arrow just lying on the ground because in their life, they never had anyone challenge them with instruction in training. And chastening and loving discipline. I'm going to be bringing this to a close in just a minute here. So it's so important. We talked about when children are young, you know, time out, a minute per age. We talked about when they get a little bit older. Listen, a little swat is not going to kill them. Just to get in. Discipline is all about getting their attention. It's all about getting their attention. And I'm all about positive reinforcement. When our children are young, we had the charts on the refrigerator with the stickers and all the rewards and all kind of things like that. I mentioned earlier we had our grandkids for 10 days. Was it last month? This month. We had our grandkids. We were chasing them around for 10 days. And so Hudson, one morning, he got a little testy with Grandma. So Grandma had to show him, see, ladies, just don't put it on old dad. You got to step up to sometimes. So Grandma had to show him who's who in the zoo. So he was supposed to go golfing that day, and he said, you know what? He said, you don't have to go golfing today with your other granddad. And that got his attention. And then he did everything Grandma wanted him to do. Well, the next day, I think I was going to take him fishing or golfing, and he and I sat down. And I said, well, you know, Hudson, listen. I says, when I come home from work today, I want a good report from Grandma that you respected her, you were good as gold, and you did everything she asked you to do. He said, okay. When I came home, we got a great report. He was a good boy and did everything that was asked of him. Positive reinforcement is so important. Leverage. We're talking about leverage. You got to find your leverage with your kids. Privileges as your children get older. Privileges. You know, they bump into a boundary. Hey, listen, they're beyond timeout. You're not going to tell a kid that's 12 or 13 years old, go sit in the corner and do a timeout. You're not going to do, you know, graphs and stickers with them. And I'll never forget my son. My son was probably, he could have been 15 or 16. We always used to wrestle around on our living room floor. And he was around 16. My son was an athlete. He wrestled, he played baseball, football, he did all that. So we were wrestling around in the front living room, and he picked me up and almost threw me through the front window. So at that point, I knew it was time for us to find another activity. So you have to know, I mean, they start to get older. Now that's, you know, privileges that... you're taking. Love and discipline, that's so important, friends. I can't emphasize it enough. And they work together. The love and discipline, they work together. If your children, you're spending time with them, they know you love them and that bridge is built, they'll be much more apt to receive the discipline if it's couched in love. Everybody have pets? Everybody have pets, dogs, cats. Let's say that your pet is sick and you have to take it to a vet and they give you pills. What do you do with that pill to help that dog swallow it? Wrap it in like a piece of cheese or a little piece of meat or some kind of helps that pill to go down. That's what the love does. The unpleasant thing that you need to bring into bear into their life, all that, the loving things you do with them helps them to receive the correction and discipline. Okay, here's where I'm going to close right here. Okay, this is the point of application. This is as I leave today, this is the thought I'd like you to take with you. It's a great blessing being a parent. It's a great honor and privilege before God. It's a sacred trust, but it's not for cowards.